The Hoop Heads Podcast is brought to you by Head Start Basketball.
Hello and welcome to the Hoop Heads Podcast. It's Mike Klinzing here with my co-host Jason Sunkel. And tonight we are going to do a special NBA edition of the Hoop Heads Podcast. We're going to be conducting our own mock NBA All-Star Draft and then talking about who we would put on as the reserves. And we'll have to see what the coaches decide, Jay.
Yeah, so I think before we even do that, we'll just run down the 10 people. Does that sound? We'll just run down the 10 people that are for sure in, and then what we're going to do is we're going to conduct a coin flip. You won't get to see the coin flip, but we're going to conduct a coin flip, and Coach Mike is going to call it in the air, and if he calls it correctly, he gets the first pick. If not, then I'm going to get the first pick. But so the Eastern Conference, Giannis, Embiid, Kyrie, Kawhi Leonard and Kemba Walker, and for the West, LBJ, Paul George, Kevin Durant, Steph Curry, and James Harden. And Giannis and LBJ are the two team captains.
All right, I'm ready for the coin toss.
All right, so here we go.
Heads.
Oh no! Hold on.
Coach Jason dropped the coin. I'm gonna have to protest.
It's tails.
All right, Coach Jason will take the first pick.
All right. So my first pick. Obviously, Giannis.
Wait, who are you picking for?
I'm gonna pick for LeBron. I'm gonna assume
okay,
that he got the
I'm most. Giannis since he's my MVP choice. I'm good with that.
Okay, so I'm picking for LeBron, and once again, we don't know exactly who's picking first, so we didn't see that. But I'm gonna pick for LeBron, and I have to do this, and it goes against my better grain. And I know you probably are excited to not get this guy, but the way he's playing lately, I have to take Harden.
All right, that works for me. That's just less passes to go around for everybody. All right. My pick. I take Durant.
I knew you were going to go Durant. So
we got a pretty nice set of bookend forwards on my team now. I like the Giannis.
The length.
The Giannis-Durant combination. We can play both ways. I like what I'm seeing so far for my team.
All right. Now, do we have to pick for positions, by the way? Like, do we care or is it just...
I don't think you really care, but, you know, it could be semi... Important. But I guess I would say I'm probably going to discount positions when it comes down to it.
Okay, so we got there. All right. So with my next pick, I am going to pick my MVP, Joel Embiid.
Man, my team's looking better and better. We are looking strong. All right, it's a no-brainer here. I'm picking Steph.
Okay. My pick, next pick, I'm going to take Kawhi.
All right, that sounds fair.
Was that what you wrote?
I was not going to pick Kawhi. Kawhi was definitely not my pick.
Okay.
So my next choice comes down to I have to debate between continuing my theory of lockdown defenders or do I pick another former All-Star MVP. Hard to pass up on Kyrie in a game like this. But since I already have Steph, I don't know. I'm gonna pick Kyrie. Give me Kyrie.
Right, I'll give you Kyrie. Yeah, you're gonna really be small though.
All right, what do you mean? I got Durant and Giannis. What are you talking about?
But you're gonna have Steph, Kyrie, and Kemba Walker as your last guy, because I'm certainly
that's all right.
Before we take the podcast, I was like, we looked at each other and we're like, well we know who's getting
the tenth biggest. No offense, Kemba.
Yeah, sorry, Kemba, but you're not. I couldn't, when I read that Kemba got in over, and we'll talk about this in a minute, Simmons, I couldn't believe it. But I'll take Paul George.
Give me Kemba.
Okay. So who's guarding Embiid?
Giannis.
Okay. Who's guarding LeBron? Durant? Yep. Okay. Gotcha. Yep. Who's guarding Harden?
Well, nobody's going to guard him anyway, so it doesn't matter. In the All-Star game, I would have to say, other than the last 3 minutes, defense is irrelevant.
Yeah,
so
that's true as well.
We'll build the team around we'll build our defensive schemes around our reserves.
All right. So we'll put a poll up on Twitter and Facebook of the teams. And
yeah,
we'll
I like
see
that.
We'll have people vote on who they think who would win. If these were the rosters, who would win? So
it's a good idea.
So
I like it.
We'll probably release this episode on Saturday and put the poll up then. So I think that's what we'll do.
Perfect.
All right. So then the next thing we're going to talk about is who we feel are going to be the seven reserves for both the Eastern and the Western. I think the way that we're going to go about doing this is Mike and I are going to kind of go one at a time. And if we agree, we'll just say, that's someone that we had on our list. And then when we get to the questionable ones, and we'll have a little bit of a discussion as to why we feel that they are going to be in on each, on this respective team.
Perfect. You want to go with the East or you want to go with the West?
Let's start with the East, just because it's where the Cavs play.
All right, go ahead.
The Cavs have no All-Stars. Okay.
Wait, do they have a volume shooting contest? I know who could be in that.
Jordan Clarkson. Yeah,
he loves to shoot.
Maybe we have a three-point contest.
He might be. Well, if it was just for how many you can take.
Hey, well, Chetty hit 6 last night.
That's a lot of threes. Good job by Chetty.
Good job, Chetty. All right.
And they lost. That was good.
That's good.
They continue to be competitive and lose. It's the best case scenario.
All right.
All right. Read your first East.
So my first East, and I think this one we'll both have this person on the list because he's the person that I feel should have been instead of Kemba, Mr. Ben Simmons.
Yeah, Ben Simmons should clearly, I think, be A on the team, and I think you can make a pretty compelling case for him being a starter over Kemba Walker. I mean, Kemba had that one stretch where he was, you know, killing it, but he hasn't been nearly as good. I know he sprained his ankle at some point a month ago or so and hasn't been quite the same since then. So I think Simmons, despite the fact that he lacks a jumper, he definitely is a guy that, you know, impacts the game all over the floor in different ways. And so he clearly should be on the team. I would make the case that he should be a starter, but clearly he's no doubt a reserve.
All right, so that was my first. We both agree with him. So now you can go ahead and tell me who.
All right, my second East reserve would be Blake Griffin.
I completely agree. He's just tearing it up.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at his statistical case for being on the All-Star team, you could probably make a compelling case for, if you did away with positions, that he could potentially fill that fifth starter position. I mean, he's essentially playing point forward for the Pistons. I think he's averaging. I know he's averaging a career high in threes made, and he's probably averaging a career high in assists as well. And he's just, again, that team is pretty much garbage, but he's been playing tremendously. Which, you know, again, I think people, you know, didn't know how he was going to react when he played. You know, when he went to Detroit, and the reality is, over the course of his career, when he's been healthy, he's been a top 10 player in the league his entire career when he's been healthy.
Yeah, I think the other thing to remember too is, he had the best diss of the year when Steve Ballmer tried to give him a high five and he ran away. I thought that was pretty good.
That was a pretty good move.
I mean, and I don't want to like talk about stuff really other than All-Star stuff, but when you go and pitch someone that you're going to be a Clipper for life and then 6 months later trade him away.
I think the key there is it's just everybody has to understand that it's a business, and I think,
yeah,
you know, players and owners and everybody, but it's still, that feels like it was, you know,
pretty shady in my
opinion. It was a little shady. I agree.
All right, so my next one, and I wouldn't have ever really thought about this one, and the fact I picked him for my fantasy team like really late in the draft this year, D'Angelo Russell is absolutely tearing it up, and I never would have thought that. But right. So I have D'Angelo Russell on my list.
I have D'Angelo Russell as well.
Well, I'm surprised. I didn't know if you would.
Well, so here's why. He was my last guy. He was my last man in on my list. And my logic for going through and thinking about why D'Angelo Russell, if you look at what the Nets have done, I believe they've won
like 6 in a row.
They're 4 games. I think they might be 4 games over 500, something like that, 26 and 22 maybe. And they've been playing really well. And their best player has been Russell, and he's been scoring at, you know, huge rate. And
he's had a few games where I don't think he's hit a triple-double, but he's been really close where he's doing everything. It's not just scoring. He's doing everything.
And there's no question. I mean, when he came out of Ohio State, he was clearly a talented player, and things just didn't work out for him in L.A. for whatever reason. And, you know, he's kind of been looked at as maybe being a little immature. And, of course, he had the Nick Young girlfriend Twitter whatever fiasco that went on.
Brooklyn, just so you know, Brooklyn is 3 games over 500, and they are currently in the 6th seed in the East.
Yeah, and they're pretty firmly. I mean, they're not going to get obviously to the 5 seed, but I think, you know, if you look at the teams below them, I think they got a pretty good chance at finishing in that 6th spot, especially if LeVert can come back from his injury at some point.
And it'll be interesting though, because I think, I mean, and this is something that we didn't really talk about, but Oladipo's injury. I mean, Indiana's going to fall. They are not going to sustain what they're doing. And, you know, Indiana is the 3 seed right now. I could easily see them dropping down.
You wonder what's going to happen now with the trade deadline, because, you know, Indiana was, you know, I listened to a couple different people talking about how, you know, maybe Indiana goes out, and because they're not going to be a big free agent destination, that maybe they go out and try to get somebody at the deadline. But now, you know, what's the point of trading for another really good player when you just lost your best player? Their ceiling has been lowered tremendously no matter what they do. So I would agree. There's a pretty good chance I would say Indiana drops off. They have played better this year when Oladipo's been on the bench than they did last year. Yeah. But still, I don't think there's...
I think they're still a playoff team. They're not going to fall that far out. I mean, yeah, they're 32-15. They'd have to, like, absolutely free fall.
Yeah, they'd have to completely crater to get below, you know, that eighth spot.
Yeah.
And just to go along with what we're talking about, Oladipo has to be an all-star despite the fact that, you know, he's going to be out for the year with that.
I have Oladipo with a star next to his name, as in, like, they'll name him an all-star, and obviously they'll have to replace him. So I didn't use him as a roster spot. I don't know if you did.
But, I did. Okay. I did. So we can get to that last guy. Maybe we discuss when we get to the last person. Okay. We can figure out whether or not that last spot I can try to dial up some names.
Okay.
And throw them out there. We'll see all what you have, see if I agree.
So I had Russell, so it's your turn.
All right, my next guy... I have Bradley Beal. I think Bradley Beal, probably, you know, after Simmons, he might be the next. I guess Blake Griffin, Simmons, Griffin, and Bradley Beal are guys that clearly I don't think there's any debate at all. Beal's been averaging like 25, 5, and 5, and you know, despite the fact that Washington's a dumpster fire, there.
Yeah, you know, Washington's like 2 games out of the playoffs now because he's been on a tear.
Yeah, but Bradley Beal has been tremendous the whole season.
I think this gives. Some more credence to Joe House's theory that they should really just trade John Wall. And the problem is they paid him too much money, and who's going to trade for John Wall?
Yeah, no one is trading for John Wall. That contract is just insane when you look at what he's going to be paid, especially in the last year or two of that deal. I just don't see where Washington's going to be able to get off that contract in, you know, in any way, shape, or form. And so that leaves you with Beal, and he's been really good. So he definitely deserves an all-star spot.
All right, my next pick, Eric Bledsoe.
I have Bledsoe also.
Man, we're knocking it out tonight. Wait until we get to the next two picks.
All right, we'll have to see. Bledsoe, I think, has been, you know, one of the things that he was known for early in his career with the Clippers was for being a great defender.
Yep.
And then when he went to Phoenix...
Not so much.
That sort of went away.
But that goes with being with Phoenix. I mean, I don't know. Well, they've never been a defensive team ever since Nash was there.
All right, but that's one of those things that, you know, defense comes down to effort. And it's a little bit disheartening that a professional athlete who's being paid millions of dollars obviously just wasn't competing to the best of his ability.
Dude,
when he was
at his hairdressers.
He was at the hairdressers, but... Regardless of that fact, this year he's been playing very, very hard on defense, and he's also playing very well offensively, attacking the basket, still not shooting threes at a tremendously high rate, but he's definitely being able to attack the basket and play off of Giannis. And so the Bucks, with either the best record or near the best record in the league, definitely deserve to have two all-stars. You could have given Middleton some consideration. I don't know if you did at all or not, but
no, I didn't.
I like Middleton. He's versatile, but I think Bledsoe has been really good this year and deserves a spot.
All right, your pick.
My next pick is Mr. Nikola Vucevic from the Orlando Magic.
I don't have Vucevic on my list.
All right, so I put Vucevic on there. You look at his statistical case. He's averaging like 20 a game. He's averaging, I think, 11 or 12 rebounds. He's averaging almost 5 assists. From a statistical standpoint, I don't think there's any doubt that he belongs on the team. Again, Orlando stinks.
I'll be honest. The East, I didn't even think of him.
Well, here's the thing. The East is not good once you get beyond those first 5 teams. And now with Oladipo, I'm not sure, even if you get past the first 4 teams, that any of those teams are any good. So you got to go with somebody, and Vucevic has good statistics. He's definitely improved. Like, one of the things that I like about him is that every year he's been in the league, he's gotten better, and he continues to add things to his game that make him more difficult to guard and that make him more valuable to his team. And I think if he had a better team around him, I think you'd see him do even more things, and he could contribute to winning on a winning team. So that's why I have him in.
All right, maybe you'll laugh at my next one. I have Siakam. I have Siakam, and here's why. Because no one could have envisioned him playing the way that he's played this year, and I know he's got Kawhi on his side, but especially with just, you know, I just think he's averaging 15 a game, he's getting 7 rebounds, averaging 3 assists, but I just think his energy and just the way that he's played, I just had to put him on there. And everything I've seen from him, when I've watched games with Toronto, he's just all over the floor, and I just love what I'm seeing out of him.
I mean, he's definitely an energy guy. He brings things to the table that are valuable to a winning team. I'm just not 100% sure that is he their third best player. I mean, Lowry's better than him. And I don't think Lowry, again, I'm not a big Kyle Lowry fan simply because he really hasn't shown up big in any of their playoff runs, playoff years. So I'm not a big fan of Lowry, and yet I still think that if you look at the value to the Toronto Raptors, you know, after Kawhi, who's clearly the most important player there, Lowry's the most, you know, the most important, the second most important player. So I just can't reward somebody who's the third most important player and not reward the second most important player. And Lowry wasn't making my team.
I understand what you're saying. Here's what I'm going to say. I'm just going to say this.
Is he your replacement for Oladipo?
He's my replacement for Oladipo.
All right, I can live with that.
And here's the deal. The games that Kawhi hasn't played, Lowry has been very absent from. And games that they've won because of when Kawhi's out, I feel like Siakam's played a huge role. Now, when Kawhi's out there, Siakam isn't as big of a role. It doesn't obviously have as big of a role. But if you look at the games that Kawhi hasn't played, I'm pretty sure if you were to just to average his points, he's got to be close to 20, 22 points a game.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair. Again, like, Toronto's been one of the better, one of the best teams, if not the best team in the East. So
without Valanciunas too, by the way.
Right. So. It's fair for them to have two All-Stars. I'm just not sure that, again, I think Siakam's the third most important Raptor.
Okay.
And so I have a hard time putting the third most important guy in over the second most important guy. And to be honest, like I said, I don't think the second most important guy deserves a spot on the team.
I can understand where you come from. Like I said, Siakam's my replacement for Oladipo.
I think I have all mine. I think we hit everybody on my list.
Okay,
so my East reserves are Ben Simmons, Blake Griffin, Nikola Vucevic, Victor Oladipo, Bradley Beal, Eric Bledsoe, D'Angelo Russell.
Okay.
So those are my seven.
So
reserves.
You're my seven, and I did not count Oladipo. I just want to be clear. I didn't count him, so I actually have eight written down, but. My seven were Simmons, Siakam, Blake, Russell, Beal, Bledsoe. And then I put him on there. Dwayne Wade. It's his last season. The fans voted him third in the East for whatever reason. There's zero chance that he is not on the roster. Do I believe he deserves a spot on the roster? No. But if I was going with who do I think the seven people are going to be.
Okay, I have no idea what Dwayne Wade's statistics are this year.
I'll pull them up. But
Pull those up because I have no idea.
I'm just telling you.
I'm stunned that he would even remotely have a case for being on an All-Star team.
Listen, I completely agree with you. However, the fan vote was three. There's zero. He was third in the fan vote. There is zero chance he gets left off a roster.
All right, well, let me hear his stats.
Hold on. I'm getting there. So give me a second. I mean, he's not even starting. That's the other thing.
He is not making a team. He's not Magic Johnson.
He's averaging 14 points a game.
He's not making the team.
Okay.
I'll buy you dinner if he makes the team.
How much are you Vucevic is averaging a game?
20.
Oh, okay. Vucevic. You're buying me dinner?
Yeah,
okay,
absolutely.
I'll take you on that. I'll buy you dinner if he doesn't make a team.
Absolutely. Where do you want to go? McDonald's? It's right by the house, man. I'll get you a Big Mac.
How's that sandwich?
That sandwich is delicious.
All right. So, but I'm just saying, listen, I don't believe that he deserves a spot on the team. But I feel like he's going to make the team.
And
the only reason I think that he's going to make the team is because he finished third in the fan vote.
And he's not making it.
Okay.
All right. Let's go to the West. Did I start the West? Or did I start the East?
I did Simmons first. So I'll start the West.
All right. The first two guys on the West, are no-brainers. Anthony Davis.
Got him.
There's not even a discussion.
And then Jokic, right?
Jokic. Those two are
1-2.
Those two are clearly. I don't think there's any doubt that those two guys both. You could make a clear case for both of them being starters.
Yep.
Davis obviously has a statistical case, and Jokic has statistics, but also has the fact that Denver's been at or near the top of the West the entire season. So let's start with the third player. I have Damian Lillard.
I have Dame as well. He was the third name that I wrote down.
And Lillard's just been, that guy just is phenomenal. I mean, I know he's not as good defensively as you might like him to be, but behind Curry and Harden, he's a little bit behind them, but that gap is very, very narrow. Lillard can score in multiple ways. He attacks off the pick and roll. He can shoot it. He can get to the rim. By all accounts, he's a great leader. I think there's no doubt that he deserves to be on the team.
Completely agree. All right, my next one I put down was Klay Thompson.
I do not have Klay Thompson on my team.
Really?
I do not have Klay Thompson on my team.
You don't think there's any chance he's on the team?
Oh, I didn't say I don't think there's a chance. I'm just saying I would not personally put him. I would not.
Did you see what he did the other night?
I know he made 10 in a row. Look, the guy can shoot. There's no doubt, and he's a two-way player, which I like. But I don't know. Golden State hasn't been as good this year. I know they've been surging in the last 2 weeks, but again,
he's averaging 22 a game on a team with Durant and Steph Curry.
Look, I don't know. I went another direction.
Okay, well, Klay was literally the first name I wrote down. All right, call it recency bias.
I didn't even consider him. So
call it recency bias.
Wasn't even under consideration. I don't disagree with you. It's a fair pick.
Okay, so I have Klay.
All right. So ahead. My next guy is Rudy Gobert.
I don't have Rudy Gobert on my team.
Okay, why not?
Because you already have AD, you already have Jokic, and I don't feel like they need another center.
All right, but Gobert is the most dominant defender probably in the league. He's probably going to be the defensive player of the year again, which, again, you got to value both sides of the floor. He's having his best offensive season that he's ever had. And again, I know he's limited offensively, but he has such a huge outsized impact on the defensive end of the floor. I think he's got to be on the team. Utah's playing better. I know I picked him to be in the top two. I picked him to finish second in the West, which I don't think they're going to get to be second in the West. But they're playing much better. I think they're up to seventh or eighth maybe. And I think they're probably going to continue to move up as the season goes along. They've been playing better and better. Donovan Mitchell's kind of finding himself. And I don't know, I think that Gobert's deserving, in my opinion.
Well, I can understand that point, too. Listen, I had a lot, like the East, I didn't have as much of a problem. The West, there were just some people, like, you had to make a choice. And when you see my last two, you're going to be like, are you serious? So, all right, you ready for my next one? I have Westbrook. Next.
I have Westbrook.
Okay, we're agreeing with Westbrook.
So Westbrook was, I don't know, he was a tough.
He's my last one I wrote down.
Yeah, he's a very difficult, he wasn't my last one. He's a very difficult guy to sort of evaluate because especially when you look at the efficiency numbers and the way he's shooting the ball this year, which has been, I'm going to use a word here, atrocious, his shooting. But yet he's just such a physical presence and he puts pressure on the defense all the time because he's constantly attacking the rim and he's so athletic and the force of his personality. And then, again, he has the counting stats. I mean, I don't know exactly where he is right now, but, you know, he's close to averaging another triple-double. I don't think he's quite there, but he's just a shade under, you know, for rebounds and assists. So I think he has to be there.
Okay. We're in agreement. Your next one.
All right. My next one, I have Jrue Holiday of the Pelicans. And I would make the same case. Okay, so I would make the same case for Jrue Holiday that you're making for Klay Thompson in a sense of he's a two-way player. If you look at his on-off court splits with the Pelicans, when he's off the court, the Pelicans are just atrocious. They're much better with Jrue Holiday on the court and Anthony Davis off than they are with Jrue Holiday off and Anthony Davis on. So I know that those numbers don't always tell the whole entire story, but to me, Jrue Holiday I don't have him on the team. That's fair.
My reasoning is the team is five games under 500.
Which is somewhat inexplicable. I mean,
they have Anthony Davis, who's arguably an MVP candidate. He won't win the MVP if they don't make the playoffs, obviously, and I don't think he's going to win the MVP, but they have an MVP candidate. They are five games under 500, and I can't rationalize putting a second player on
the
team.
That's fair. That was my reasoning.
Because he was originally on my list, and then I was like, I looked at their standings, and I'm like, nope, can't do it.
Yeah, it's totally fair. I mean, I think, you know, if you want to reward winning, which I think is certainly fair to do, then Klay Thompson over Jrue Holiday is a rational argument. I just think Holiday, again, I'm not sure that the rest of that team – especially with Mirotic's injury. I just don't know what else they have around him. And
yep.
Holiday's just been – the team's played so much better with him on the floor than off. So, again, you get down here to the end of the roster, and I'm not sure that, you know, you can split hairs with Thompson, Jrue Holiday, and probably a couple other guys. All right, go ahead. This is our last guy, right?
Well, I have two more. But I've got Doncic next.
Yeah, I got Luka.
I have to. Like, what he's brought in Dallas, once again, Dallas is the same record as Minnesota, or as the Pelicans. They're 4 or 5 games under 500, and they've definitely been a little bit on a skid. But he's just tearing it up as a rookie. Triple-double the other night. I know it was his first one, but he's been hovering a triple-double multiple times, and once again, I picked him in the fantasy draft, and he's really, really helped me. That triple-double is going to be huge for my team.
So I think two things here. One is everybody expected Dallas to be brutally awful, and they've been far, far better than anybody thought, and I think that most of that credit has to go to what Luka's brought to the table. So that's one. Number two, if you look at the totality of his season, the number of times he's come through in big moments and come up with a big shot or a big play, he's done that numerous times already in the first half of his
season. You're parlaying right into my next guy, by the way.
So. And then I think to go along with that, I think that, you know, with the idea that the NBA All-Star game is an exhibition and fans want to see somebody, and I think they want to see Luka. I think fans want to see Luka in the game. And that goes.
You're making my argument to the Dwayne Wade argument, though.
We'll see. Right. But I think if you look at Luka's stats, it's a lot easier to make a case for Luka being on the All-Star team this year. Again, it depends on if you're rewarding a career, then yeah, obviously Dwayne Wade would deserve to be on there. But if you're rewarding who played the best in the first half of the season, then I don't think you can make arguments against Luka and you can make arguments for other guys that we're going to leave off the roster. But to me, Luka's been a story of the season. He deserves to be there as one of the 24 guys that are an All-Star player this year.
And that goes to my last guy. And the stats probably aren't 100% there. He also finished third in the West in voting from the fans. Derrick Rose is my last person. He came. No one ever could have thought that he was going to play like this again.
Well, I heard something yesterday. I forget where I heard it, but that he's shooting like 43% from three.
What? I know. He is.
I know. But you look at, when we watched him play last year for the Cavs, his shot, he was shooting on the way down with a hitch, and the ball was ricocheting off the backboard and with no arc.
You saw that game winner he hit that one.
Yeah, right? Absolutely.
He's averaging almost 19 points a game. It's like 18.8 or 18.9. And, you can make the argument that Towns probably, arguably, is their best player, okay? But I don't think anyone's had a more buzzworthy season than Rose, because even the players have said the reason he didn't win, he almost won the fifth spot on the starting, by the way, the West, and it wasn't because of the fans voted to third, the players voted him like 7 or 8, it was the media that was not as up on him. So I just think I think that Rose is on the team kind of in the same story as Wade. It's not that it's his last season, because who knows how many more years that Rose is going to have. But no one at the beginning of this season could have envisioned him. And you got to also remember, this is going through the tumultuous Jimmy Butler garbage, the firing of Thibodeau, and all that stuff in Minnesota that he's had to endure this year on top of that. I just think that he's in. He was my last guy, so that's who I'm going with because of the story.
Look, I like Derrick Rose. I like him. I like the story. I like his comeback. I like the fact that people wrote him off, and I would include myself in that category. And it's great to be able to see a guy who played so well at the beginning of his career before he got hurt, and then obviously went through some very, very difficult times, and now he's working himself back. And I'm sure he had doubts that he'd ever be able to get back to even the level that he is now. I don't think he's going to make the team. Do you think when the teams come out, do you think he'll be on the roster? I don't think he'll be on the roster.
I think I'm willing to say there's a 75% chance he'll be on the roster.
All right. I think there's too many other good candidates that are ahead of him. So I don't think he's going to make it, but I think you make a compelling case for why he should be considered. I don't think he's going to make it over some of the guys that we already talked about who are kind of in that Klay Thompson, Jrue Holiday, Luka. I just don't know that you're Westbrook. I just don't think you're not going to pick Derrick Rose over those guys that are sort of at the end of our rosters. But he's a great story. It's great to see him back and playing well. I think, you know, you touched on another guy that he was probably my last omission. In fact, I had to cross him out when I originally put eight people on my roster instead of seven reserves, Carl Anthony Towns. And I think Towns, the big thing for me with him is he's such a talented offensive player, and yet at the same time, he hasn't been very good defensively, and he's just maddeningly inconsistent. And he just seems like a guy who...
He's very apathetic at times, and I don't understand
it. That's the way it seems. Like he seems like a guy who, I'm not sure if he's your best player, that you're ever going to get to the championship level that you want to get to. Maybe he needs an alpha dog next to him to keep him.
Apparently not, because Jimmy Butler didn't do it.
Right, but I'm not sure Jimmy Butler is the right kind of alpha dog that we're talking about here.
I think the other thing, too, is like... You kind of want him to have the fight that Wiggins thinks, like, he, like, if you ever listen to, like, Wiggins says, oh, I'm the blah, 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 blah. Towns is so, like, meh. You know, I always kind of get that. I was like, if he just had the kind of
Yeah, but Wiggins, like, what, I mean, Wiggins averages, like, two rebounds a game.
Well,
like,
no.
How tough can you be as a 6'9
guy? But I'm
guy?
Saying, like, if he,
right, there's a talk.
He talk.
I understand.
Talk, and Towns
right.
doesn't seem to talk. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, right. I don't know if I'd even recognize Carl Anthony Towns' voice if I heard it.
I wouldn't.
Yeah, so again, for me, he was the last guy left off. If you look at his statistics, I'm sure he's averaging like close to 25 and 12 and probably 3 or 4 assists. So he certainly has a statistical case to get on there, but I'm not sure that, again, I'm not sure who I'd bump off my team in order to get him on the team. I won't be surprised if he makes it. In fact, I think probably he will make it. Of the guys that I have on my list, I think Jrue Holiday is probably the least likely guy to actually be on the team when they're announced. And then Luka, I think those two would be the two on my team that I would say probably aren't going to make it. I think
on
the other,
West or both, all seven?
On the West. I think I think on the West, like my five guys that I think are pretty much locks, Jokic, Anthony Davis, Lillard, Gobert, and Westbrook, I think are all locks. I would be stunned if any of those five aren't on the team.
Okay.
And then on the East, I think the locks are Simmons, Blake Griffin, Beal, and Oladipo. Obviously, he's going to be replaced, but I think those four to me are the locks. And then you can make a case against or for any of the other guys that we talked about on the list. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. It'll be interesting to watch the draft and see how those teams turn out.
Are they doing the draft live? Do you know?
Yeah, they said they're putting it on TV.
That's the best thing I.
Yeah, that'll be a lot of fun to see that.
I'm glad that the egos aren't going to get, because that was their concern, was there were going to be too many egos.
But you know what's funny is, like, I mean, you and I just sitting here doing it, I know we aren't the actual people that are doing the picking, but if...
And we don't know anyone.
Right, we don't know anybody, and we're not hurting anybody's feelings, I guess, but, and we don't have to go deal with them after the fact, but it still seems to me that, you know, most of these guys have played some pickup basketball somewhere at some point in their life where... Somebody had to pick teams
and
pick somebody else.
Of dollars to play basketball.
Yeah,
chill
so
out.
I'm sure they can handle whatever slight embarrassment or whatever slight you know.
So I have one question I didn't prepare you for. Here's
okay.
The question.
All right.
If the Cavaliers had an all-star right now, who would be your person? The best player on the Cavaliers right
Who's
now?
Who's the best player on the Cavaliers? Ooh. Yeesh, that's a tough question. Man.
I have an answer and an easy out. But,
so is the question, man, gosh, I would say if I had to pick someone right now that's playing, I mean, obviously Love is the best player on the roster, but he's not playing. So the guys who have played, I think if you're looking at right now what guy would be the most valuable to another team, I think it's clearly Tristan.
And that's where I was going to go. Double-double.
And then I think if you're looking at what guy would be who's the best asset that we have, I still think Sexton, despite his flaws that he's demonstrated
he's so
as a rookie.
He's so on a roller coaster.
He is, but again, he's 19 years old. And I think if you're 19 years old, it's hard to really think that you can play consistently in a man's league like the NBA. It's just not going to happen all the time. So I would say of the on the complete roster, Love, on the current playing roster, Tristan, and of future asset, Colin Sexton.
Okay, so I agree, Love, Tristan. I'm starting to come around. I'm thinking Osman's going to be good next year. I thought
he would be better this year. And again, I don't know if your team is
a dumpster fire.
Well, but I mean, if your team's good, like if your team is a really good team, I'm not sure that Osman is a starter. But I think Ausman could be in, I think he could be in an 8 or 9 man playoff rotation for a good team eventually.
Could he be a sixth man off the bench?
He could be. He has skills. I mean, he has every skill that you would want. The only thing that I don't like about him from a skill standpoint is he doesn't make his free throws. For a guy who's as good of a shooter as he is, and you know, seemingly you think that he would be a better foul shooter than what he is.
My favorite thing that he does is he does the LeBron spin move on fast breaks. Have you noticed that?
He does like that move.
I wonder where he learned it from last season.
He was learning that in those private workouts with him and Durant and LeBron and the rest of the crew.
Well, supposedly they loved having him, and he's going to be invited back this year, which is great.
That's good. I mean, that's good for him. That's very good for him. Hopefully they'll invite Zion after we pick him in June. Hopefully Zion will be part of those workouts. That's what I'm hoping for.
Sounds good to me.
All right. Well, we're going to watch and see what the coaches decide in terms of who the reserves will be. We'll throw a poll up on Twitter and Facebook for those of you that are interested in weighing in on whether Jason or I picked the winning All-Star team. And to all of you out there, thanks for listening, and we will catch you on our next episode. Thanks.
Thanks for listening to the Hoopheads podcast, brought to you by Head Start Basketball.